Jesus as a model for counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. And this week on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Carl Hargrove. Dr. Hargrove pastored two churches in the LA area from 1993 to 2014. In 2014, he returned to his ordaining church, which is Grace Community Church, where he directs Grace Advance, which is a ministry that provides pastoral leadership for developing churches in North America, and pastors the Anchored Fellowship Group. He's very involved in mission support with an emphasis on Africa, and Carl is a faculty associate at the Master's Seminary. And he's a graduate of the University of Cincinnati, Master's Seminary with an MDiv, THM, and DMin. He and his wife, Joanna, have been married for 28 years, and they have five children. Dr. Hargrove, it's wonderful to have you with me. It's good to see you again, and welcome to the podcast.
Good to be back. And you know what? 2 years have gone by. Now it's 30 years with Joanna.
30 years.
30 okay. years.
Ooh, we need to update this bio
yeah,
here.
Indeed.
That's right. 30 years. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, sure.
We all strive to make it. And 30 years, which is really great. Listen, we're going to talk today about something that I think is exciting. We're looking forward to our conference coming up, and we're going to talk about this very subject. We're going to talk about the care of Christ. You're one of our speakers. I'm really looking forward to you being there with us and you sharing with our folks, you being a member as well, ACBC certified member. You know, I want us to get into this because I don't think we talk about this enough. So many people, even in the Christian counseling integration world, they'll describe Jesus as some sort of model, but then they sort of don't talk about Jesus a whole lot. So I want us to address this if we can in some way. So let's just talk about this at the outset. How is Jesus a model for counseling?
Excellent. And we ask ourselves, then, what is counseling? Because we can say, well, he's a model of, what are we modeling? We're modeling coming alongside. We're modeling helping. We're modeling compassion. We're modeling sharing truth. We're modeling spurring someone on to be conformed to something. And of course, that something is Christ. And we are hoping that Christ will be formed in people. So he is the model of helping that. How is he a model counselor? He's the model of everything. Everything that is right and good, he is the model of. I mean, you can think about Christ, say, for instance, a big picture. If we were to go to John's gospel, the images of Jesus Christ there, he is chapter 4. He's like the living water. So this water, you will thirst again, but Christ is a living water. And when we counsel with people, we're often saying, friends, what you are striving for will never satisfy you. Here is a solution. You know, Christ is the bread of life. Yes, he gives substance. Christ offers freedom. Chapter 8 tells us that when the Son sets free is free indeed. He has that light as well. And in counseling, we're saying there is a greater freedom for you to live your Christian life. And maybe let me pause for a second and say, sometimes we think counseling, it's always that someone is there to overcome some sin that is holding them back from living the most dynamic Christian life. That, of course, can be the case. But counseling is also just to make a better decision. What's the best decision that I can make for my life? People are looking for that as well when it comes to counseling. You know, Christ is the door. He is the good shepherd, chapter 10. He is the one that offers abundant life. So he models that sense in which he is the greatest resource available, and I offer that to you. And as a counselor, we're saying, this is what I offer you. Here are these biblical principles and precepts and commands that I offer to you that will enhance your life. You can walk in wisdom in life. So I see that Christ is that model for us, and we would do well to follow it. He was also a great God of compassion. That's a very interesting emphasis that you'll see, like in Matthew's gospel, and he felt compassion, and he had compassion, and he felt compassion. So the counselor must have a compassionate heart to those that he is helping. He is everything.
I love the way that you help reset our cultural idea of counseling. We're not saying some sort of professional idea. What we're describing is the way Jesus approached people in personal ministry. I've heard it said, Even looking at the Gospels, I think that this is something that's accurate, where Jesus did far more personal ministry than he did even public proclamation. Mm-hmm. Now, that I don't say that at all to diminish preaching. That is critical as the centerpiece of our time together as we worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. That is critical. I say that just because we often underemphasize the value of personal ministry and modeling Christ in that particular way. And of course, so we see this in the Gospels. We see Jesus interacting with people one-on-one, personal, smaller groups, and then broadly in mass. As we talk about him personally interacting, you mentioned John, you sort of gave several categories, and John provides some insightful interaction that Jesus has with individuals. Talk about some of the particular emphasis that John's gospel can benefit us as biblical counselors. And I'm really looking forward to how you're going to weave through this, because I think sometimes biblical counselors, when they read the scriptures, maybe we miss some of the value of paying attention to how Jesus does things. And because it's not in some sort of modern language of some sort of psychological approach of how to help somebody in a technical, methodological way, we sort of miss the way Jesus just interacts with people and that truth prevails. So describe some of these emphases.
That's great. Yeah. Think about that for a moment. Jesus, we can say it this way. He met them in their present condition. The woman at the well. Well, go get your husband. Oh, wait a minute. He met her at that point. Jesus, bring the children to me. Don't have them come to me. They can sit at my feet. So he makes adjustments for people. He was also one that could say, you whitewash tombs. Mm-hmm. You are deceivers. And so we look at Christ and he is adjusting to those people that are in front of him. His message doesn't change. The manner in which he communicates it at times does. That's even true in preaching. Say, for instance, you think about preaching, there's a certain audience that you have. You know, say, for instance, one comes to a shepherd's conference, 5,000 men from around the country, most of them pretty versed in scripture. You preach a certain way. A person goes to a church and they've never even heard the word expository. So what approach do you take? You have to make those adjustments, but you still deal with the text. And I think as a counselor, be aware of, where is this person? What is their background? Are they Roman Catholic background? Is it some extreme Pentecostal background? Is it strictly paganism that they've come from? They've grew up in what sort of church? All those environments. What was their home like growing up? Those are factors. And then we consider that when we're ministering to them as well. So Christ did that. He adjustments with people and circumstances and using things around him to help people understand truth. You know, Christ, the kingdom of God is like, and people could identify with it. That's right. Yeah, pearl. That's correct. Or a bird that's hopping about. Yeah, that's right. I get that. I can see that. And so it counts as we would do well to learn from him.
I love that. I think, you know, the fig tree. He's going to teach him. So he's not describing that truth is in the fig tree.
Sure.
He's not describing, right, truth is in the lily or truth is in the bird. A lot of people misinterpret that. What he's saying is, let me teach you truth that's fixed. And we see a beautiful metaphor of what that looks like. And he's teaching as he goes along. He's helping to disciple people. And this is the idea. Now, I'm sort of hesitant to go where I want to go next.
Okay.
I mentioned at the beginning that you're going to be with us at the national conference this year in Fort Worth, Texas. Sure. And we're going to be talking about this subject more broadly. If I cut you loose running on it, you to give an app, you know, whet the appetite of those who are going to be with us. And so I want you to talk a little bit about some of the things that you're mulling over and thinking over as you prepare to speak to our folks there at the annual conference on this very subject.
Well, some of it's come out even in those questions about Christ and looking at him briefly in John's gospel, those I am statements. Mm. What's the import of these I am statements to me as a counselor? The significance of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, pointing people to him, seeing that he could identify with people at different levels. That's so important as a counselor. The willingness to be patient. He was surely patient with his disciples. Oh my, was he? And so with a counselor, that the need to be patient with people as they grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you can be there, you know, called alongside them. But there's something in particular, because I was given the topic more specifically, sort of Christ and his forgiveness as a counselor. And I think about Colossians, and we'll definitely deal with the book of Colossians, walking through it and looking at Christ in like verses 1-4, who is Christ, who is above, and we must look above. And then, but I love verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So how do we admonish, encourage, instruct people to have this spirit of forgiveness? Christ was that way. Christ brutalized, Christ crucified, but yet forgave. And we have to remind people in this area of forgiveness, let us be cautious when we withhold it, because then we make ourselves, are we then greater than God? Look how he forgave. And we need to keep that reminder in front of us. And Christ was that. And this is why he said to the disciples, and they thought that they had come upon something spiritual when they said, well, 7 times? Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Let's increase your math here. 70 times 7 that you forgive. So I want to talk about that, Christ and his sufficiency. Look at Christ. Some in John's gospel, he is sufficient. Carry over into Colossians and see how Christ is sufficient, and we look to him. And that's really even the motivation in chapter 3, you know, as he has finished, we're going to be revealed with him in glory in verse 4. Then he says in verse 5, therefore, put to death the members of your body. Here is motivation when we look to Christ.
This is so helpful, Carl. You know, one of the things that I think about as you're describing this, and one of the reasons I'm so unbelievably excited about the conference that's coming up, ACBC sometimes gets caricatured as if, oh, we know everything that you're against, right? And listen, there's biblical precedent. We should be, you talked about the book of Colossians, chapter 2:8. We should be guarding against empty philosophy and vain deception. We're to stand against those things, those ideas, thoughts, and practices that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We are called to do those things, but we are also called to promote the things that we see in Scripture as a means to minister well, and Jesus demonstrates that for us. And we're going to spend an entire conference focusing on the beauty, I would call it the treasures, the depths of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that is found in Christ as a model for how we do the things that we do to minister to people so that Christ can bear their burden, so that Christ can give them rest. And we're looking forward to that. And we're excited that you're going to open God's word. You're going to encourage us with God's word and help us to see the things that we saw in our Lord that we're supposed to model after. So, brother, thank you for your time.
Oh, sure.
Looking forward
Absolutely.
To being together in October and sharing here with us
Indeed.
Now.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. I am looking forward to this week. It is time for our annual conference, The Care of Christ, happening right now in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I'm so grateful for all who made this time possible. Hopefully you're out there and joining us virtually if you're not here with us in person. But I do want to ask you to just be in prayer for this time this week as we join together, so many of us from around the country, as we sit under the teaching and preaching of the word, that we would listen, we would hear, we would be encouraged and challenged by the words that are spoken from the word in how our Lord cared so well for people. Would you pray for our plenary speakers? Would you pray for our breakout speakers? Would you pray for the people who are in attendance, that their hearts would be tender toward what the word says, that we would grow together, and that the Lord would continue building an army of people all over this country and even internationally, where the church is built and we begin to care for each other the way that Christ cares for us. I would love for you to join us in praying for us. And as always, you can find out more about ACBC, our ministries, and our resources at biblicalcounseling.com.